The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
This podcast is a member of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts and content creators, visit bio.link/red5.
Produced with podcasting gear from Tascam. Trust your audio to Tascam. Sound thinking.
This show brought to you by Jersey Ninja. New items added weekly, superior quality products, excellent selection, competitive pricing, 100% satisfaction guaranteed. That's Jersey Ninja at jerseyninja.com. Your source for great quality hockey jerseys and performance wear products.
To another episode of Wookiee Radio. It is the Smugglers 3, Ken, Derek, and Beat to Crap. I mean, Mike, how are you guys doing?
Better than you, sounds like.
I'm wore out. Second day back to work as we're recording. And part of my duties today is I had to walk the entire park.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I had to, with it being Flower and Garden at Epcot, we the techs support the topiaries, and the position I was in, I have to go and check nightly the topiaries to make sure there's no issues, they're all lit, et cetera, et cetera. So since our tech office is over by the China Pavilion, I come out of China, make a right, head to the front of the park. And when I mean front of the park, all the way down to the turnstiles, check the topiaries there, and head back up to finish my way around World Showplace. So go out of Future World, or what used to be Future World. Now it's, World of Creation, Discovery, and whatever. And then head back into World Showplace or World Showcase and finish walking the rest of the countries back to China.
So Mike's been all over the world today.
Yes, I have. Took me an hour to do so. And I was impressed. I didn't start hurting until I got back to China and was doing my final walk from the front of the China Pavilion to the back to get backstage. That's when it was starting to hurt. So about 57, 58 minutes in. So proud of myself for that. It's the longest I've walked since I've had the surgery at one time, but I did pretty good. So check out the homepage, WookieRadio.net. Support our affiliates on the right-hand side. Supporting them supports us at no additional cost to you. So check that out. Want to email us? Email us at WookieRadio@gmail.com or find us on X, formerly known as Twitter, or Instagram at WookieRadio. So got a few news stories today. We're going to recap this week's episode, Juggernaut of the Bad Batch, which I got some questions about it before we get into our good, the bad, the ugly. And then I also want to bring up something from the world of Disney in regards to Star Wars. So you guys scared yet?
No, but I just found something kind of really awesome. I didn't realize it came out on April 2nd, which I don't know why they didn't drop this on April 1st. You see the new book from Chronicle Books?
No.
Star Wars dad jokes.
Oh, yes. I did see that. I want that.
I'm surprised you pre-order that one, Mike.
I'm surprised we haven't been asked if we wanted it yet. I need to contact I need to contact our friends over at Inside Editions and Chronicle Books. Wanting to find out how they're doing, too. I haven't checked in with them yet this year. So, because we may be getting...
Wow, some of these are really, really bad, too.
Dad joke.
They're dad jokes. Of course they are.
What happens when Imperial fighters race? It always ends in a tie.
If we get this book, there will be the Star Wars dad joke of the week.
I know.
That's part of the show. So, yeah. I need to reach out to our friends over there.
Why do the Warriors of Mandalore leave their helmets on? It's Mandatorian.
I need this book.
Oh, no. What kind of books do stormtroopers read in their spare time?
Oh, boy. What?
Troubleshooting guides.
That's funny. That's funny.
How does Wicket get back to his village?
How did who get back to his village?
How does Wicket get back to his village?
Oh. Ewoks.
Ewoks.
All right. So, do we want to hit the stories first, or do we want to do the Disney thing first?
If you can't get a hold of Chronicle, it's like $13.50 on Amazon.
I know. We have a contact for Chronicle, so don't worry.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. I just got to reach out. Last time I talked to him was to wish him Merry Christmas, and I haven't had a chance to talk to him since. It's with everything going on, it slipped my mind.
Yeah. I think the last one we got to review was the Secrets of the Wookiees.
Yes. Love that book.
Love it.
That was good. And we got that Jedi Guide or whatever it was called.
Yes. Yeah. Now, is that book out, the dad jokes, or is it pre-order?
Yeah, it's out now. It came out April 2nd. I don't know why they dropped it on April. I would have dropped that on April 1st. I would have changed the schedule just so you could have it out on April Fool's Day.
Yeah. So like I said,
people would think it was a joke.
Do we want to get into the stories, or do we want to hit my Disney?
Well, sounds like you want to talk about that.
Yeah, so. We're going to talk about it no matter what. It's just I'm giving you guys the option. Which way do you want to go first?
Might as well get it out of the way.
Because there's a couple of big things that dropped this week too.
All right. So earlier this week, or it was last week. I think it was Monday this week. As we're recording, Josh DiMaggio appeared on CNBC. Star Cruiser got brought up, and he made the comment, yeah, we just didn't know how to explain it. What?
Isn't that what we were saying? That's what we figured the same way. Remember, we said that they didn't know how to market it correctly for the right people.
Not market it. Explain it. Couldn't you tell people what it was? It's like, are you kidding me? Did you even attempt to try? Because everyone who worked there, we explained it quite well to people. I thought we explained it quite well on this show once I was allowed to talk about it. That, to me, is for a company that touts themselves for storytelling. That is a lazy cop-out excuse. Well, we didn't know how to explain it. No, you didn't want to try to explain it. Just like you didn't want to try and market it. And you didn't want to try and do any PR on it until it was too late and you were trying to then sell out as much as you could before it closed. And even then, you still didn't do anything to really market or publicize the ship, period.
It needed a tax write-off.
Yeah, but how are they going to explain it and justify the price?
The price, again, we have talked about this. If the three of us had done a cruise where it was just the three of us and we split the cost three ways, I think it would have been affordable for the three of us to do. Yeah, I know that's a stretch. That's a stretch, but it could have been affordable.
Well, one, that would never realistically happen. Two, what about families that want to go to it?
Mm-hmm.
See, this is where I hit my other aspect. My family wanted to do it. After we got a chance to, during our entertainment open house that they gave us entertainment cast members, and we got to preview the rooms and we saw what room we really wanted. And if we were going to do it, we were going to want that particular room, which was the mid-tier room of the three tiers for the three of us. $7,400 was not reasonable for that particular room.
It doesn't matter how they explain it, how they market it, whatever. That is still the major factor of why people couldn't go.
Yep.
Your top tier resorts, like island resorts, you're talking almost that much.
The top tier resort at Walt Disney World.
No, I'm not talking Disney. I'm talking like Sandals and the big giant name brand resorts.
Right. And it's not just for 2 days.
Yeah.
I'm saying top tier resort. We'll go Grand Floridian. That's the top resort. In a peak season, you could still get 10 to 12 days for the same cost as what you would pay for 2 nights at the Star Cruiser.
Right.
So or you could get the lowest rate rooms over at the All-Star Resorts and still go do a Disney cruise and still have money left over. You could do 2 weeks at the All-Star Resorts and still do a Disney cruise and probably throw it. And you could probably throw in almost a third week for $6,000. So cool. If you could say, if it was said, we couldn't explain the Star Cruiser well enough to just, or we didn't know how to explain the Star Cruiser to justify the price we were charging.
Right.
That's one thing. But to say, oh, we just couldn't just, we couldn't explain the Star Cruiser. No, sorry. I don't buy that. Explain to justify the price. Yes, I buy that. I worked it. I know what we put into it. And even then I said, it's a great experience. I explained what it was very well, I thought.
Right. So you're telling me that,
but the price,
even through all of, you know, the initial stages of creation to all everything to opening, they couldn't at any moment in that time figure out how to explain it.
No, apparently not.
All right. Yeah.
Apparently not. That's my beef. Is the comment right. Was we didn't know how to explain it right.
Right.
No. Which
makes absolutely zero sense.
And I go back on what I said. For a company where storytelling is what we are masters of, to say that is a cop-out excuse.
Mm-hmm.
That is lazy.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely lazy.
Yeah.
Again, as I said, if they came back and said, we didn't know how to explain it to justify the pricing, that I get. But to say, oh, we just didn't know how to explain it right to people.
Yeah.
Sorry. I don't buy it. Not when you explained it to people at a Star Wars convention. And I realize that's your main target audience. Not when you were able to explain it and get people hyped for it at D23.
I wonder if also,
again, kind of target with Disney, but
they pulled the plug. It's extremely fast. Considering they really didn't do anything to try to get extra people there. They didn't try dropping the price at all. They didn't try any of that, anything that would try to keep it going. They just immediately said, nope, we're just cutting it off.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised. It will never come out. If there wasn't a board meeting somewhere that even before they started, or as soon as they opened it, already knew that this has a shelf life. This is when we're closing it down.
If they did, it was California only that knew, because no one knew here.
Two people in a back office that knew this.
It had to have been.
They said, you know what? This is going to be this will be a huge failure so that we can do something else bigger later or something. They had some kind of plan that they knew that this wasn't going to last long.
Now, he did follow up and say, we still have big things in store for the space. Okay.
Well, yeah, you don't have any other space around you guys. You have to use the space. You can't just let it sit there.
But I'm sitting there going, okay, cool. But you've done nothing to it. There's no sustainment crews to keep things going in there. So if there was something, stuff's been pulled out. That decor wise stuff has supposedly been pulled out partially. We know a third party company has taken it over or has permits to go into it and do something in there.
I think it was doing roofing and stuff, wasn't it? Just to keep the building
possibly
in shape.
Possibly. I don't know. I drove by it yesterday and it was so sad. Just seeing the ghost of the building, just the shell. Knowing no one's in there except for security, maybe it's some maintenance guys. That's it. There's nobody else over there. Go by a guard shack that used to have security in it. There's no security in it. Yep.
Yeah, they put cameras in there. They don't have to have anybody on site.
Oh, we had cameras all over the place. I guarantee you those cameras are gone.
Yeah. I'm sure some of the security cameras are there just so they can make sure no one's
camped
out there or something.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, the entrance on the guard shack on the other side of the bridge still is staffed, but not.
Imagine how easy those guards' jobs are. You're guarding an empty building.
Yeah, I know. Right? Yeah. So
that's the cushy job. The guy that's been on the job for like 40 years, and he's like, you know what? I'm getting ready to retire. I'll just take this one, and he just sits back and watches TV on his phone all day.
Yep.
So, yeah.
That's also the guy that in the movies would something bad would be happening.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my little.
I'm wondering
if this wasn't a plan to start.
We've had others on the show, like the folks from Heroes from the Halcyon, who they've done multiple trips. But again, they split it yes, two of them were married and there was the third person, but they didn't pay, not one person paid a full cost of the room. You know, the room was split, in a manner of speaking. Others that we've had on the show, like when we did the remembrance show, everyone went with other people and they shared the cost.
Yeah. I'm wondering how many, because they built this as a family resort. That's why they built the rooms the way they did with the punk beds and stuff like that. I wonder how many actual families did this compared to a group of friends got together so they could actually make it affordable.
There were there's quite a bunch per cruise when I was there in the beginning.
Families where it was just a single bill family?
Yeah. Yeah. There were quite a few. At least when I was on the ship. Yeah. So, but sticking with Disney, in a positive note, Star Wars Day is coming and Disney's going to have the Made the Star Wars Day 2024 Disney Collection offerings. So, there's a shirt that features C-3PO and R2-D2 from the Droids cartoon. That seems to be the Droids cartoon seems to be the theme of this year's, May the 4th be with you from Disney for Star Wars Day from the parks. Everything styled from the Droids cartoon. So with prices ranging from $19.99 to $64.99 on different merch, this is the different things. Different things coming out. There's a pin featuring R2-D2 with May the 4th be with you. This is a pin that I'm interested in getting. There's a t-shirt and sweatshirt. There's a hat that features C-3PO and R2-D2. There's a tumbler that has Boba Fett from the Droids cartoon, and they're offering a magic band. Special May the 4th magic band.
Cool.
This is all great looking stuff.
Oh, man. I wish I knew that.
It'll still be here when you're here. Don't worry. It's not offered on just May 4th and then goes away. They'll introduce it on May 4th and you'll whatever. Because y'all come down when? The 5th?
We are flying down May 6th.
Yeah, it should still be here. It should still be here.
Yeah, May the 4th, I end up celebrating. I'll celebrate kind of a relative of Wookiee. So I'll be at the Ohio Bigfoot Conference.
I was going to say that May the 4th this year is also free comic book day.
Yes. And once again, for some reason, the last 3 or 4 years, I've missed free comic book day because Vicky's had an art show or something. And usually it's because it's the Ohio Bigfoot Conference. So we've down at Salt Fork State Park.
So yeah, there's some cool stuff. Speaking of pins, we went to Cast Connection, which is the Cast store where they, you know, try and clear out old merch before they send it to the outlet stores, give cast members a chance to get it. I have for both of you gentlemen a Chandrilla Starlines Disney pin.
Cool.
That you can put on like a pin board or your backpack or whatnot. It was one that was sold on the ship. So I've got one for each of you guys.
Cool. I used to put pins on I have a cool messenger bag, but as I started, I lost 2 or 3 of them. I'm like, nope, they just fall off too easy.
I got a couple extras because I also got one for the gentleman over on Mighty Marvel Geeks because, you know, there was the Halcyon Legacy comic book. So I thought it was appreciate to get for them as well. But I got a couple extras, one for my pin board, and then I've got one on my backpack.
Yeah.
I have recently started a pin board, so.
I'm going to because I have like a bucket full of pins.
This would have been a Star Cruiser exclusive. And believe me, when anything Star Cruiser comes into this cast store, I pick up whatever I can. And now definitely if there's no limitations, I definitely try and pick up extras for you guys as well.
Thank you.
So yeah, that's what we do. So we're going to head towards gaming. Star Wars Outlaws. We get a release date.
We get everything this week from this.
Now it makes me want a new computer.
I know. Hey, I don't have to worry about it because I have a Series X or I have the Star Wars or the Xbox Series S. So
I've been thinking about getting a new tower and giving the tower that I'm on right now to Zoe. So I'm just updated for even recording and Skype and everything else, but also
so you can play Jedi Survivor.
Jedi Survivor and Outlaws. So the release date is August 30th of this year. But those who, unless you get either to the gold or the ultimate editions, and then you will be granted access to it August 27th.
Yes.
Even if I can't play the game, I will buy it so I have it for when I do get to play the game.
Yeah, I got to start. The ultimate edition has all kinds of cool stuff with it.
Well,
I think I'm definitely gonna have to get me an Xbox. I'm kind of giving up hope on ever getting a PlayStation 5.
Dude, the Series S you can get, like I said, for like $250 or something like that.
Yeah. Mm. For me, it's just gonna be easier for me to get a new tower for the computer and justify it because I could take that as a tax write off. Yeah. You know? So, and yes, Derek, we said this before. For whatever reason, the First Order tried to mess with the show. So I had a glitch technically on my end. So I think they might have caught on, but I think J7 fixed it. I'm hoping.
Oh, we're in trouble if J7 fixed it? Really?
I don't remember that. Did someone erase my memory banks when I wasn't looking?
Yeah. But yes, you could probably, because of what we do as podcast, you could probably write off the game system. Because you got to get the updated so you could talk about the new games on the shows.
Yeah, but the problem is Derek and I, it's still technically a hobby.
Yeah, it's true.
You actually have it as a business with the servers and everything else.
Yeah, because I actually, the very original co-host for Weeby Geeks felt we needed to incorporate, and I've kept the corporation ever since. But we win the lottery. Or if Melissa and I ever win the lottery, don't worry. This will turn into even more of a business because I will be paying you guys, even with some back pay.
Okay, how can I rig the lottery?
Anyway, gold edition.
Florida. It shouldn't be that hard.
Just find a guy named Chad. He's hanging around.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Gold edition. You're going to get the base game, season pass, which includes two DLCs, the Jobbit's Gambit exclusive mission at launch, and the Kessel Run character pack, cosmetic pack, and up to 3 days early access.
Ooh.
Ooh. The Ultimate Edition.
Yeah, go ahead. Once you get to the end of that, I'll...
The Ultimate Edition, you get everything I just listed, plus Sabacc Shark Bundle, which includes cosmetics for Kay, her blaster, Nyx, Kay's speeder, and the Trailblazer spaceship. You get the Rogue Infiltrator bundle, which includes cosmetics for Kay, Nyx, Nyx's speeder, and the Trailblazer. And you get a digital art book, a selection of the game's concept art and visuals, including unique cinematic storyboards. I want the Ultimate Edition.
How much does that cost?
$130?
It's not actually
about half the price of your Xbox.
Yeah.
I noticed the very similar to the Jedi series of games that basically when you get the gold and the ultimate, other than the season pass, everything else is all just cosmetic stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So but, the season pass is worth it, but
yeah, the cosmetic stuff is fun, but it's not a deal breaker.
When we get to the trailers, I got a couple things I noticed in the trailer. Because they actually put out a 2.5-minute trailer for this.
Yeah. Well, part of these bundles will probably be offered as add-on purchases later.
Yeah.
So,
well, I could wait for DLCs, that. Yeah, on the season pass, the first DLC, Jabba's Gambit, actually comes with the game at launch if you buy it.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
The Kessel Run and stuff will be out later.
See, I'd be okay buying the gold edition. And wait for the, because they didn't say the Sabacc Shark or the Rogue Infiltrator bundles are exclusive. It's just you get them now. So, okay, cool. I can wait until those become available for $10-$15.
Yeah, that's the way they did the Jedi games also. Everything that you could have gotten for, there was something that was exclusive, I remember. A couple things that were exclusive, but it was also character stuff.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that's all they do.
Now, you were talking about the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get into the trailer,
I did not see it.
I haven't seen it either, so I'm looking forward to Ken talking about it.
Well, let me bring it up. So
there is a character from the movie,
yes,
that's in this game.
Oh yeah,
and you see her, yes, her in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Kira's in this.
Okay, you know what? We should try to do something here.
Now we know this takes place between Empire and Jedi, right?
Yes. And in the trailer here, you'll see it. So, and actually, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to share my screen to you guys.
Right. But we know Kira is alive during this time period anyway, because she's alive during the comics during this time period.
Yeah.
So, but it's cool seeing her in the game and that she has tie into the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's actually in the very first clip of the game you'll see here in just a minute.
Yeah.
So you guys should be able to see the screen instead of my camera right now, right?
See a blank area.
Yeah, black with a T in the corner.
Yeah.
Okay, you got it, Derek?
Yep.
So you guys can watch. I have the captions on, and I'll talk over some of this as we're going.
All right.
So as the trailer goes, it starts looking at this giant...
I don't see the trailer.
Nope. It's not playing for you?
Nope.
Nope.
Okay. Hang on. Let me reshare the screen. Stop sharing.
This is live recording, folks.
That's right.
We are professionals.
Oh, we're professionals.
Wait, who? What?
I didn't say.
Just because I get paid. Just because I get paid to do this at work doesn't mean I'm professional. Wait, yeah, it does.
My Skype is half frozen. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Well, just, half frozen.
Well, if you guys want to go to YouTube real quick and bring up the trailer and zero it out, and then we'll just hit go at the same time.
Can you clear your share screen?
It's on the Star Wars YouTube. My Skype is half frozen, so it's not going to let me reshare.
All right.
So, but if it's on the Star Wars YouTube channel,
and in there now, and I think, gentlemen, this will be the last story before we get into.
Well, we have one more we have to talk about.
I know. So we may be doing a very quick recap of this week's episode.
Well, there was stuff that happened, but it wasn't earth shattering.
Oh, no. If it's what you're thinking and I'm thinking, it's earth shattering. We got to talk about it.
So,
okay. So
Derek, you got it there too? Who's you guys are at zero? I'll count down. Okay. If we're ready, 3, 2, 1, play.
Yep.
So we got the city with those look like modified TIE fighters almost.
Yeah.
And a guy talking. You find out later this is actually the main villain of the game. But you see here, they're talking. They talk about the Pikes, Crimson Dawn, and the Hutts being the big names in the underground right now. That's why if you go back at the very beginning there, that was Kira sitting at the table representing Crimson Dawn.
Yep. Well, at this point in time, she is Crimson Dawn. She's the head of Crimson Dawn because Maul's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the comics, she's taken over. So now we're up to the Empire. We see the shuttle land. He's still talking about how it's an opportunity to make millions.
Exactly.
Now we see Kay Vess.
Yeah, Kay getting ready to, and just suiting up and talking to a Celestin. And a lot of this is not gameplay footage.
No.
This is the cinematic trailer set up what the whole idea is. And this is Zarek Besh. I guess our new organization coming in with Sliro, which we saw at the beginning, was the guy in charge, is their leader.
Now, the person who says we meet at last, is this Nix?
Let me see.
Because this is the one that people keep thinking is potentially Kyle Katarn.
No, they actually, I think they never actually say his name. Nix is her little creature thing.
Gotcha.
But there's a shot right here that shows you exactly where we're at in the timeline.
Yeah, there's actually two people from the movies in here.
Well, technically, yeah. Three, if you count Jabba.
True.
So, there's if you go back, did you guys get to the point where I showed the couple of cities real quick? Because one here looks very much like Kobo from the Jedi Survivor. The one with all the dome buildings.
No, that's not Kobo.
You sure?
Do you see it yet, Derek?
Here, let me go to... I'll pause it. It's at the 103 mark.
Yeah.
That building, that is Kobo. Because if you go in the back, there's the mountain, but there's the flat platform. That's the landing platform. This has been built up, but right beside it is the cantina. This, I think, is Kobo from Jedi Survivor.
Derek.
It's very, very similar, if not.
It's very similar. Derek, what does this look like to you?
I have no idea.
Black Spire?
Black Spire Outpost.
Because
the buildings are very similar on Black Spire Outpost.
Yeah.
On Batuu.
Well, when you play Jedi Survivor, you'll see Kobo looks very similar to it, too. But the layout of this, the flat platform to the main mountain in the center in the back, to the right side on the bottom, there's that flat platform. That's actually a landing platform. And in Kobo, that's where that is. To the left of that taller building there would be the cantina or the bar. This is much more in here, but... I don't know. I may be not right either, but we'll find out. We'd have to find out when the game goes.
Yeah.
So.
But seeing this for having not played Jedi Survivor, if you say this is almost the same artwork from that, I believe you.
Yeah.
But yeah, having not played the game, going based on what I have, and this is why I reference or ask Derek because he's been there.
Mm-hmm.
This very much looks just like the architecture that we have for Black Spire Outpost.
What's the map layout look like compared to Black Spire? That's the positions of the buildings and stuff.
Very similar to this, but you only get a small chunk, very small chunk of Black Spire Outpost that you're actually walking through. It's bigger. Mm-hmm. It's bigger than what we actually have here.
Yeah.
Or what we have in the parks. You're just only in one small section of the outpost.
But it looks like, since this is basically the cinematic trailer for the general story, she's trying to buy her freedom back by stealing this guy's fortune. But they do tease in here that she's involved in something much bigger than this. So there's something else that's involved in here, too, that this doesn't really touch on yet.
Right.
But there's a lot of skills and stuff and things that you see that's going on in this game that remind me of the play mechanics and stuff of Jedi Survivor and Jedi Fallen Order, both.
Oh, I cannot wait for this game.
Yeah. So
I cannot wait for this game. Looking at this trailer. Yeah, I'm absolutely stoked.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be good stuff.
Whoa. About the 143 mark.
Okay.
If I didn't know any better, I was going to say that I would say that's 000.
Ah, yeah. The black 3PO droid.
Yeah. Which supposedly the all black protocol droids were supposedly supposed to be interrogator droids or a type of interrogator droid.
Yeah. I do like how one of the commando droids is actually like a bounty hunter now.
Yeah. I like I dig that too.
So no, this game looks like it's going to be great. I've loved Jedi, the Jedi series so far. This looks like it'll be another great one. It'll be a similar style game, but it doesn't involve Jedi as far as we can tell.
This would have been a great sequel to Star Wars 1313.
Yeah. They may have taken the concept of 1313 and morphed what they were thinking of for that and turned it into this.
They could have. Oh, it's amazing.
So, but this is not the only trailer we had this week.
Oh, no.
The other one was a surprise.
At least
was to me.
I think we touched on it briefly on Weeby Geeks, and we said we knew we were going to be talking about it this week.
Yeah, the problem is that they always do this as soon as we're done recording, because they dropped this on Thursday of last week, and we record Wednesday night.
So we have talked about, we were wanting a season 2 of Tales of the Jedi.
We're getting one, kind
of. We are getting a season 2 of Star Wars Tales, except it's not of the Jedi, it's of the Empire. So I think I think this will be marked as Star Wars Tales. Season 1 is Jedi, season 2 is Empire, and continue on.
Yeah, this is the same format too, because it's two characters, interspersed back and forth.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Now we haven't, all we know is this franchise is going to, or this next season. Okay. It says it right here. 6 episodes. God, I was hoping for more.
Well, that's what we had for the other.
I know that's what we had for the first season, but I was hoping we'd get like eight episodes or 10 episodes.
Well, also they should be right about 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
At the probably. Moment, because that's what the first set was. Mm-hmm. There's technically Star Wars shorts.
But still, if this is what we're getting every May 4th is another season of 6 shorts of Star Wars Tales. I'm down. I am absolutely down.
Yeah. But being Tales of the Empire, it's interesting the two characters they chose.
I think it's great.
They're not characters that scream Empire.
Yeah.
As Imperial characters. You know what I mean?
Right. The first one is Morgan Elsbeth from Mandalorian and Ahsoka. Yep. And how she's involved how she got involved with Thrawn, the Night Witches, and the Empire.
I have never been I'm not a 501st guy or anything, so the rank badges for Imperials, I can't read them too well. What rank is he there at this point? Is he a lieutenant, a commander? It was like, what, 5 or 6 blue bars or blue squares? I mean, let me see here. Right here in the article.
Do they go as far back as the beginning of the Empire on this? Clone Wars era?
Well, we see Grievous in the trailer.
Okay, so this is when she was still a Night Witch.
Yeah.
Still during the Clone Wars.
There. Wait a minute. We got what? 1, 2, 3.
I didn't pay attention. Because that would have been...
6 blue boxes. What's the rank on that? Anybody know?
Not off the top of my head, but that would have been New Republic. Old Republic, or Grand Republic.
Depends on where this is. If it's like, if it's what Tales of the Jedi was, it'll be over a time period. So this episode may be after 66 during the Empire. And that may be a flashback because the trailer shows Morgan Elsbeth fighting General Grievous. So that could have been like the first episode of this. That could be during the destruction of Dathomir and the when they wiped out the sisters.
But
this would be later on.
But if Grievous is still alive, and she's working with Thrawn.
You got to remember this: the trailer's going to be all over the place,
right?
So the scene here with Thrawn, maybe after the Grievous stuff. So the Grievous may be the first Morgan Elsbeth episode, and the second, third one would be her talking to Thrawn. Another 4, 5, 6, 7 years down the road,
right?
Because remember, the Ahsoka ones went from when she was basically an infant until she basically left the order.
Right.
And the Barriss Offee ones are like that, too. They're all over the place. So you can't take the trailer here and try to figure out timeline.
No.
Okay, so what I'm seeing on Wikipedia, the ranking of the non-clone officers did carry over to the Empire.
Okay.
If he was...
Six blue in a row.
Six blue in a row. I didn't
see that Imperial ranking.
It's like the first time you see... Well, it's the only time you see Thrawn in the whole thing. He's got a dark gray uniform, which I believe is Army.
Six blue in a row. Navy is Naval Admiral.
Okay.
Security or Stormtrooper branch would have been a general. Army so would have been six red.
Yeah.
Army would have been six red. So Navy.
So he is Admiral Thrawn at this point.
Naval Admiral.
He's not Grand Admiral, but he's Admiral.
Correct. Grand Admiral would be the same as Grand Moff. Yeah. So six blue on top, three red, three yellow.
But the major difference would be the white uniform instead of the gray.
Right.
Grand Moff gets gray, Grand Admiral gets white.
Yep. So
like I said, I've never been a 501st guy or anything to understand exactly the way their the rankings work.
Yeah, me either.
I haven't either. Plus, when I go to do my 501st costume, which will be an Imperial officer costume, where I'm going with mine, there is no rank badge for the division I'm doing.
Well, you could be an engineering chief or something, or a tech chief.
I'll tell you guys after show. I don't
NCO.
Wanna, I don't want to say on show because I want to be the first to do this.
Oh,
but I did find it was interesting that Barriss Offee becomes the fourth sister.
No. The fourth sister actually goes to talk to is the one talking to Barriss Offee.
Okay, I saw that.
The fourth sister is the one walking down the ramp with the troopers behind him. To talk to her, get her out of the
thing. You thought the same thing, right, Derek? That she was fourth sister? Yeah.
If you watch it with the captions, it says fourth sister, and then you hear her talking.
Okay. I'm going to have to go back and watch.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, so we do see her in Kenobi. Well, I'm thinking she does appear in Kenobi as one of the Inquisitors, one of the ones that has the helmet on.
Possibly.
Quite possibly. So anyway.
Well, the interesting thing with this, though, is this means we know she's at least made it this far. What's the chances she shows up in Ahsoka later? You have another Ahsoka Barriss Offee conversation.
I think that would be awesome if she does. Even if the Inquisitor Corps is gone, she, for her to still have a grudge against Ahsoka.
Yeah. Well, the Inquisitors may not be totally gone. Because remember, we had one, which we figured out was basically just Night Sister magic brought him back to life.
Right.
But the body and armor was still fresh enough that they could do that.
Yeah. But we also, too, don't know how long he had been around either. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get into Juggernaut, shall we?
All right.
Yes.
Here's the mission debrief. I'm sending to your terminals now.
So take it away, Derek.
Okay, well, for this debrief, we like to do a little thing that I call the good, the bad, and the nitpicky, and that is where we choose a thing or a few things, whatever, that we really liked about the episode, maybe something we didn't like about the episode, and maybe some things that just bugged us a little bit, but not enough to detract from the episode. And to end on a positive note, we like to start with the bad, with the nitpicky, and end up with the good. So, any nitpickies?
Episode was too short.
For me, it was it's a little bit of a nitpicky that I thought for sure this was episode 12 of 16.
Yep.
I thought we'd be moving forward faster now. It was this was another setup episode.
Right. I kind of
got two of those in a row just about.
Yeah.
There was cool stuff in it. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. There was cool stuff in there, but it wasn't like go, go, go. Like the show's about to end.
I mean, I didn't mind the pacing. Like I said, it felt too short.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Yeah. Just as it ended, I'm like, no, you didn't finish the story. You didn't finish the episode. Where's the rest?
That's what they like. Remember, this show has done that a lot through the history of the show with a great cliffhanger at the end of the show.
Yeah. But I haven't felt like that. like I did this up. I mean, all the others, it's like, okay, cool. This episode, it was almost like, okay, it'd be like us doing our intro going, welcome to Wookiee. Okay, that's it. What? This is what it was. It was too short. It just cut. No cliffhanger. It just cut.
I don't know if I agree with you on that.
That was my, that's my nitpicking.
Yeah, that's his. That's a good nitpick. But still, that's still a nitpicky. Like I said, that's what like mine. Mine is like another setup episode.
So,
yeah.
And if y'all feel that should be a bad and nitpicky, okay, that's cool.
This was nitpicky.
Makes our conversations about this great. I mean, to me, that's a nitpicky. It's something I'm being passionate about because it just drove me nuts.
Well,
it didn't piss me off. It just drove me nuts.
All right. So it didn't detract from your enjoyment of the episode.
No, I just wanted more because I felt it was a brick wall cut.
So that is a nitpicky. Yes. Mm-hmm. Perfect nitpicky.
Did you have any, Derek?
Sorry for getting so passionate, guys.
No, that's fine.
It's a passionate episode for me because I'm hurting.
I can't think of anything other than I kind of agree with what you said, Ken, about it being a setup episode.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's like we've only got 4 episodes left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And isn't one of these another double episode week?
I think the last set is a double.
So we so we got 3 weeks left.
Yep. Well, yeah, because that will bring us to the Tales of the Empire.
Yeah, which should all drop in the same. I think with Tales for the Empire, we'll do our recap on that about 2 weeks.
Well, Tales from the Empire is going to drop on Saturday. Remember that. It's dropping on May the 4th.
That's right. We'll discuss closer to time if we're going to give it a week or not. I think we should be okay.
Yeah.
So
that's all right. Thanks, but
cool.
Moving on to anything else on the nitpicky, guys?
That was my only nitpicky.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What about bads? Anything bad?
It's a minor bad, but what's his name? The Imperial.
Rampart?
Rampart, yes, thank you.
I had to look him up. I recognized the name. I had to remember who it was.
I know, me too.
Like I said, it's a very minor bad, but I felt his ego attitude was just a hair too much for the rescue. I could tell you what it's going to cost you. Cool, I'm down with that. No big deal. Not a problem. But it's still showing allegiance to the Empire after they turned their back on you and threw you in prison for supposedly no just cause, made you the scapegoat for the Emperor's plan, and all you were doing was just following orders.
Imperial training and brainwashing is very deep.
Apparently so. But I would have thought there would have been a little less of the Kool-Aid influence at this point.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Now, the attitude with the Ugnaught in the at the work site, cool. That part of the attitude I had no problems with.
Yeah, yeah.
But the, still,
that actually did make sense here.
But as the Bad Batch is rescuing him, whatnot, and he's still trying to pull of, no, you're not rescuing me. I'm going to turn this into where I'm going to turn you in, and you're going to become my prisoners when he has no ground.
Well, you also got to think he may be thinking on that. That, you know what, if I do this, maybe I can get back in.
Oh, I'm sure
he's trying to get back in.
I'm sure he could be.
When did he say, I missed that part. When did he say he was going to turn them in?
No, he never did. We're just saying it's almost like that's the type of attitude he's got.
Oh, then I missed that.
He's almost projecting that type of attitude of
I got
why should you're rescue. You're getting me out of prison. But why do I want to help you? You know, why should I help you?
Oh, see, that's not the way I saw it at all. I saw it as he knew he had something to bargain with because he had the information they wanted. So he knew he could get them to take him off the prison planet. And
which, no, I
feel the way they're offering.
Again, I thought that was all played out well. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I didn't get that he was still faithful to the Empire and stuff.
Yeah, I kind of got that. See, I didn't get the vibe of like what happened with Kallus from Rebels.
Yeah,
where you know his eyes got opened up a little bit. I would have thought with Rampart was being in the jail, you know, serving this jail time and whatnot, his eyes would have opened a little bit more, and we didn't get that. He knew he had cards to play. we knew he had cards to play. And that part, again, I brilliantly loved. And I was so glad he pulled that. I'm so glad they did that.
Arrogance, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. His arrogance was still, to me, projected, I'm still an Imperial loyalist.
I'll say I did not. That was not how it appeared to me.
Yeah.
When I was watching the episode, none of that really... go ahead, Derek. What?
I was just saying, interesting.
When I was watching the episode, none of that came out. But that's because I had to look him up later because I had to remember exactly... Because it's been, what, 4 years since we've even heard of this guy?
Ooh, has it been?
No. He was first season episode, or first season character.
No, he was in season two. Because remember, sure? Yes, because he was...
I thought first season, at the end of first season, was when he got put in jail.
No, season two, when they started the whole For the Clones with the Senate... Senate hearings where they threw Rampart under the bus. It's during season two, I thought.
I don't remember.
I'm kind of looking now a little bit.
But I also just thought of a nitpicky that I had. It's a stupid little one, but it's pretty much a good definition of the nitpicky. So I was watching it with the, as I do now, I was watching it with the closed captioning on. And the whole time he was arguing with the Ugnaught, it just kept saying alien language. And I was like, say Ugnaught, say Ugnaught. They just wouldn't put Ugnaught.
I was waiting for the second time with the Ugnaught to go, rrr, 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 I have spoken. Like, yes, it's there.
Any other bads? Anything from you, Ken?
Not really.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything particularly bad.
Yeah.
Like I said, mine wasn't a major bad. It was just a minor bad.
That's fine. Yeah, that's totally fine. So I guess we'll move on to the goods then. Anything good? I got nothing.
Good.
We'll see Rampart back in it, even though I didn't remember. I remembered that he was a character. I didn't remember who he was specifically.
Yeah.
The way Rampart was used in this episode, even with the minor bad that I had, I thought was great. And I'm hoping that Rampart does turn towards the rebellion and may potentially be involved in something that leads to the Cassian Andor story.
Well, this is well after Cassian.
No, it's not.
Oh, wait, no. This is way before Cassian.
Yeah.
Well,
so we still got time.
This show has nothing to do with the rebellion.
No, not yet.
At this point, I think it would be a waste for them to add that into this.
I think
there's not enough time.
It was only 4 episodes left. Yeah, I don't see how they could.
No, but I think
Clone Rebellion. That's a totally different thing.
I think getting some teases though, because I think we're because of the Empire taking over as quickly as they can. There are some localized cells a rebellion against the Empire.
Yeah, sure.
Well, we know that. Remember, until you get to Rogue One, there is no Rebel Alliance.
Right.
They're all localized little cells.
Right. Well, it's actually not until season 3 of Rebels that the Alliance really starts to come together. And even then, we're still
almost 20 years away from that.
Like 15. I would say 18. We're about two, three years in after Clone Wars on this.
I don't know about you guys, but when they first showed the prison planet with the tanks and everything, I had a flashback to Mandalorian.
Yeah.
In that episode, I was like, yeah.
Okay, that was going to be one of my questions I was going to ask before we started the recap.
I don't think it's the same place.
There was I kept seeing some stories out there, and I never looked into it. I just only went based on the headlines that there were ties or nods to the Mandalorian in either this episode or in the clip for next week's episode. So seeing that, I'm like, okay, so that's where it got me. This could go back to a nitpicky, is all of a sudden the first time I watched the episode, I was watching going, where's the connection? Where's the connection? Where's the connection?
And you don't look at headlines after you watch the episode.
I didn't spot the connection. And
the only thing I think of is maybe those transports.
Well, yeah, because the
whole bridge situation was very similar as well.
Although, was that Mandalorian or was that the beginning of Rogue One?
No, that was Mandalorian.
But the prison complex reminded me a little bit of the complex that was storing all the gold in Andor.
Imperial architecture.
Yeah. But the only thing that I saw that had a remote t- tie to Mandalorian is the turbo tank, because they do use the turbo tank. Din Djarin and Mig and Biggs use the turbo tank, or Migs uses the turbo tank to sneak in.
Oh yeah,
yeah, into the mining facility.
Yeah, so that's the only time we see a clone turbo tank still in use.
Yeah. But
isn't it well, what's the transport they use in the beginning of Rogue One that they break her out of?
A turbo tank as well.
Okay. I think it's just a smaller version of it, a much smaller version, but
I don't think it was like a major connection. I just think it was we're using a turbo tank again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just basically saying, look, this is proof that the Imperials still used clone property, because this point in time they're still using the Republic gunships.
Yeah,
which I'm still hoping those are still around.
I wouldn't be surprised. We talked about it last week that during the original trilogy movies they were still using them.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
See, I almost
none of the stuff we saw on screen required troop transports.
See, right. I almost wish we saw a. That's an idea, Derek, since you've been there as well. If they were to change the timeline of Galaxy's Edge to Mandoverse, remove the TIE echelon and put in a Republic gunship as the new Imperial gunship.
That would be cool.
That would be just as awesome.
Except with that, I'd want to be able to, go into it.
Yeah. Yeah, but if they remove the TIE echelon and put that there, it's like, how do you get people in and out? Well, you could build it where it goes in, people enter through the back and come down and out through the base.
Yeah.
Thinking about it, go ahead, Derek, finish up with you guys. Got that?
Oh, no, that's it. I was just agreeing.
You know what I was thinking? It's like, you know what? Especially now that I was thinking about the trailer for Outlaws, I bet you the Republic gunships were being phased out as this goes, because they were probably replaced by that Lambda class cargo shuttle. That'd be a much better troop transport. It's much bigger space.
Yeah, but who's to say out on the outer rim though, on some of these other locations, they're still using the
It also depends on what you need for an attack transport. You would use like the gunships, where the Lambda it has lasers and stuff, but it's just for self-defense. It's not actually an attack shuttle.
Right. But when it comes to like Batuu, though, the planet of Batuu and the Black Spire Outpost, because of all the spires because you see a better shot of everything when you're in the Smuggler's Run ride, because you fly out of your docking bay and you almost go straight up to get out. The Republic gunship would be much easier to bring troops into the outpost than the Lambda class shuttle.
I say Lambda's usually, you got to remember, landing and taking off is straight up and down.
Right. You could do the same thing with Republic gunships, but
yeah.
Maneuvering amongst the spires, the shuttles don't have the maneuverability especially with the wings folded down like a Republic gunship.
Yeah, we'll have to see as we see more stuff in different time frames. A big one would be when we see Outlaws, and do we see any gunships show up in that?
Yeah, a lot of hope.
Because you do see the cargo Lambdas.
Yeah, well, we're starting to see the cargo Lambdas in Bad Batch even.
Yeah.
So, but it's a mix of both. My hope is they're still using the gunships along with the Lambda class shuttles, because we're still getting the Lambda class shuttles in the sequel trilogy as well.
Yeah.
Because that's referenced on the Starcruiser.
If I remember, the dropship at the beginning of Force Awakens was a variation on a Lambda, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. It was like a newer style shuttle.
I don't think it had the top fin. It just had the two sides or something like that.
Yeah. It was a different class shuttle. Yeah.
Actually, here. Where's that? There. Because I have the 3D model of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, Ken, you want to quickly explain the M count before we get into that?
Sure. We have our M count rating system. And basically, real quick, since we're running low here on time, it starts with a zero, where zero is a heater, down the middle. It was a solid episode. You can go as low as -3, being the worst thing ever put on television or onto the silver screen, or you go to a +3 is the greatest film piece of cinema the world has ever seen.
It is the 10th commandment of Star Wars.
Yes. So with that, what M count rating would you guys give this?
I'm gonna go with a solid 2.
Wow. That high.
I found it entertaining. Yes.
Okay. For me, yes, I did find it very entertaining. that I got to go 1.25.
Mm-hmm.
Because going back to what you guys mentioned, with this being just another setup story with four episodes left, and yeah, the fact that, and the fact that it, to me, with my nitpicky, it was just a brick wall cutoff.
Mm.
It was like, drop the axe, we're going to end it here. Almost a mid-sentence type cutoff. Like, I got to go 1.25.
Okay.
I was entertained, but it left me wanting more in a negative way. Because I just didn't like the way it ended.
All right.
Well, for mine, you start with this episode was almost the definition of a heater. Just right down the middle, just a decent episode, which would be a zero. So I'm going to probably go, if you add Rampart seeing him was kind of cool, and the action stuff of getting him out was kind of cool, that makes it a one for me.
See,
it wasn't enough to make it a fantastic episode, but it was still enjoyable and fun to watch.
See, I almost went one, but there was just enough there for me to kick it up to the 0.25.
Yeah.
Just enough. Barely, but just enough. But, I mean, all respect to you, Derek, for giving it to. I mean,
yeah,
nothing wrong with that. I totally respect it.
Wise opinions.
Yeah, see, for me, it didn't feel too short. It felt like the perfect amount for me.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with the length.
So I really, it just really worked.
I have no problem with your ranking. It just, knowing what I was thinking, it's like, wow. That's high. Looking back, that's you gave on three other shows, recap shows, you've given the episodes a two.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm just generous, I guess.
No, dude, it's nothing wrong with it.
Hey, we've not had anything in the negatives yet.
No, yeah. No, not yet.
I think this is actually the lowest rating I've done on any of them.
Yes, it is.
Like I said, this one was almost the definition of what a heater is, right down the middle.
This was my lowest rating as well.
Mm-hmm.
I would almost love to go back and do episodes of Book of Boba Fett and do ring our M counts on those.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have to get enough time to actually rewatch it.
Yeah, but we would almost have to just do a watching. Not a recap of the show, but just do a watching where after you watch the episode, rank the episode, and then we just do a discussion. Okay, here's our M counts for Book of Boba Fett.
Hey, we can always do that in 15 years when we get to there on the rewatch podcast.
Actually, we could probably do it this summer when the stories are slow.
Well, don't we have a celebration coming this summer too?
No, next year.
Next year, okay.
2025, Easter weekend, Japan. Yeah, it's something we could potentially toss out there on the one for the summer programming. If you, our fellow smugglers, like this idea, hit us up and let us know at WookieRadio@gmail.com or let us know on social media at WookieRadio. We'd love to hear from you on your thoughts.
Send us in your M counts for these episodes.
There's that too. Start sending us your M counts each week on what you think from -3 to +3. Remember, zero is straight down the middle, and it was a good show. If there's a lot you didn't like about it, you're going to go towards the negative. If there's a lot that you thought made it the absolute bomb, you go towards the positive. But if it was, hey, this was just a show, it'd be a zero. And zero is a good score. It's the bottom of the good score, but it's a good score. So any final thoughts?
Nope.
I don't think I have anything for to say either.
I'm too tired for a final thought.
Mm-hmm.
I hear
we're a little late, normal.
Well, gentlemen, I'm going to turn it over to J7.
Gentlemen, sounds like there's only one thing left to be said.
Give the evacuation code signal.
All right, cut the chatter.
Jet, I can hold it.
Pull up!
No, I'm all right.
I have placed information vital to the survival of the rebellion into the memory systems of this R2 unit.
I've lost R2.
I'm going to go.